It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
Time.
It's time. Time to think about the things that you otherwise wouldn't say. Lucky for us, these two will say anything.
Come on!
It's time for The Fawcast with Chris Williams and Mark Charter. The Fawcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Why pay 7% to list your home? Choose the flexible 5 or 6% plan for you at charterhouseiowa.com.
Hear more from Mark following this episode.
Listen very carefully.
Shall we do this then?
No, just take it one time.
An audio experience unlike any other starts now.
Welcome to this week's podcast. We're here at the Charterhouse Real Estate office in Ankeny. I am back from San Diego, obviously. Mark is here. And it's just us today. Hey, Mark.
I'm glad you're back, man.
It's good to be back.
I'm glad you're back. You know what I realized?
I don't like being gone. Honestly.
You know what I realized?
Okay.
So last week, I think I had some people email just... We had a good discussion, right? So we talked about a lot of stuff, like we do on the podcast. We talked about Bitcoin, and we talked about...
I'm really disappointed I missed out on that.
Yeah, it's too bad. But anyway, so I thought it was pretty good. But they're never as good as when you're here. So it's
well,
like
thank you.
It's like when your ship's captain is in the bathroom taking a dump. You know the ship isn't quite as smooth.
So
it's one of those things.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, I realize you can't be here every week. You're an important person, busy man. But we did the best we could.
Who was it? Just you and Jared?
Me and Jared.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't get to listen.
It was supposed to be Ross. But
oh, really?
Ross had an incident.
Yeah, Ross had the whole, he was pooping blood.
He texted me that morning. He's like, I'm having a health emergency. I said, say no more, my man. You know, do what you need to do. So I never heard. I assume he talked all about that on the show.
He's fine. Yeah, he's doing okay. Yeah,
diverticulitis.
Yeah, diverticulitis is what it is. Yeah,
I have a buddy that had that was in the hospital for a couple of weeks with it once. So it can be very, very bad.
No, Ross is doing fine. No, I was off with my wife in San Diego last week. I had a great experience with the game on Thursday night.
So you were in San Diego for the game, though, right?
Yeah, but, like, do you know how, like, weird it was for me to be sitting by myself at a bar at 5 o'clock in the afternoon in San Diego watching a game that is near and dear to my heart, like most people listening?
Sure.
And, like, I'm just sitting in this random beach bar.
And I assume
watching
you probably did you have to ask them to find it on the TV?
Yeah, I did. I said, hey, but it wasn't hard because it was on ESPN2. So, like, every cable company in the country has ESPN2.
Yep.
So that part wasn't difficult. But just, like, explaining to the waitress, like, or to the bartender that I'm from Iowa, and then, like, these two guys next to me, like, they're kind of, like, asking me why I was so into it. And I'm like, well, I graduated from there or whatever. And, like, but it was just, like, it was so surreal for me to not be there and then to be that far away where literally nobody cares about it. Like, these people could not care less that game was
not
going on.
Not on their radar whatsoever.
Oh, they didn't give a crap.
The West Coast is so hard to get used to for the times of sports events, especially.
Absolutely.
You know, 7, like, it's 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
People are driving home in their cars from work,
and
Iowa State and I were playing, and they don't give a crap.
A lot of those, like, NBA games and stuff will start at 4.
4, yeah. Yeah, which is, I've said this many, many times, I believe it, we're in the best time zone for sports.
I agree with you.
You know, we don't have as late as New York City or whatever has it. I mean, some of those games are 1 a.m. before they end, especially like baseball playoffs. We've got it pretty good. No question about
it. But I bought a round for these guys who watched the game with me.
So when you watch... And usually you're there at the game, and you're usually writing. Okay, you weren't writing anything during.
No,
this,
I was
you?
Drinking.
So,
I was drinking.
Do you feel like you watch it much differently than the average fan does?
No. Well, okay, the like average fan, yes. The
you're not asking yourself what type of offense they're running out there right now, which an average fan probably wouldn't do that.
So the average fan, I probably watch it differently. Like the average fan who reads Cyclone Fanatic, maybe not, because I think that fans are really educated these days.
Yeah.
Where I feel like 20 years ago, people would just – you know, if you wanted to hear from the coach, you would listen to John Walters on the Monday night show. Well, now, like, you know – you can hear from the coach. Like, every press conference is streamed. Everybody's tweeting out crap all the time.
Yep.
So I just think fans are smarter than they've ever been. However, yeah, when I'm like when I'm watching that game, like I'm jotting down on my phone like Prohm's rotations, which I don't think probably an average fan does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was kind of like, okay, who's the first to check in? When's the first alert comes in?
Let me ask you this question. And maybe you don't have a clear answer on this, but I find it fascinating. So I went to the game against Alcorn State.
Okay. That was a doozy.
First of all, it was interesting because my buddy was sitting right behind where their radio team should have been, and there was no radio team.
Alcorn didn't have one.
Like, he said he'd never seen that before, where the opposing players didn't send. Or the
Alcorn
team
State's
didn't
most
send
famous
one.
Alum is?
Is it McNair?
Yeah, Aaron McNair.
There you go. So I'm sitting the in-law seats, right? The good ones. I'm three rows.
The urologist?
Right behind on the Iowa State bench. Three rows behind the bench. Little Cass, and this is cool. I know you've seen this. He sits in the aisle. This is Prohm's kid.
Yeah. Cass Prohm. Yeah.
He sits in the aisle, not in a seat. And then on the stairs itself, it says Cass's spot. Like, Iowa State made him a sign.
Pollard did that.
That sits there, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So that's where I am. But anyway, so I'm right by the bench, which is a cool perspective, close enough to hear what Prohm is saying.
Yeah.
And the one thing I was taking note of was the rotation. It kind of seems like, in a way, there's times where the coach kind of looks and kind of scans the bench a little bit, and then it's like, you in there. And it seems almost like there is no pattern, there is no system. But would you say there absolutely is, or is it based on, this is what I just saw on the court, I didn't like the way he did that, so I need a guy?
I think still he's struggling to find that.
Yeah.
Even in a 7 or 8 game win streak, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because I think it's so hard when you've got all these young guys. Like, think about like Jacoby Long. In that game against Tulsa, had like 17 points in the first half. He's barely played since then.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he was hurt for 2 or 3 of the games.
Yep.
But, like, I think Steve right now is going primarily off of feel. I don't think there's much of a system. And I think that just being around him enough now, where I think that he's playing, I don't want to say mental games, but he's doing in a sense where he's trying to keep his guys mentally engaged in, like, totally different ways. And then once, like, Big 12 play starts, okay, enough of that. We're playing our best 7.
Yeah.
Or best 8. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't think there's really a rhyme or reason for whatever he's doing.
I love the seats because of what you can hear.
Oh, it's the best.
The game changes with that. Like, there was a time. Who was our guy in the first half? I'm drawing a blank on the name that pushed an Alcorn State player just for, like, no reason and got a foul called on him right there. And Prohm immediately pulled him out. Well, while that happened, the ref looks right at this player. I'm just drawing a blank. I think 24 number.
Was it Terrence Lewis?
I think it was. Yeah, it was Lewis. He just, like, pushes the guy, right?
Yeah.
The ref looks right at him and says, man, what are you doing? Like, says it to him. Like, that was stupid.
Yeah, why would,
like,
you do that?
He didn't give him a technical or anything. Just kind of, like, you know, had him, you know, Prohm pulled him after that. But that's something that as you're sitting higher up, you don't ever hear those.
See, that's
the
one thing.
You don't hear the exchanges on the court.
My seat in Hilton is up.
Yeah.
Which is great because you see everything. Like, it's actually the best seat in the house.
Yeah.
When it comes to watching the game. What I don't like about it is I miss out on stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because that's another deal. Like, I just feel like TV's so good now. Like, the fans watching it, like, you really don't need to. That's why I always tell our guys, don't write recaps. You don't need to write a recap. They're following you on Twitter. They're watching the game, like, in a way that you couldn't do 20 years ago. You don't need to recap the game for them. Give them some opinion. And we need to be relaying, like, what we see that you can't pick up on TV.
Yeah.
And I can't really do that from up top, but what you're talking about, you absolutely can.
Yeah.
Like, you can just give so much more insight to the reader.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
like you just gave more insight from your experience there than I would be able to do from my spot.
Well, it's just weird because where these particular seats are, it's a very, very unique experience, and one that you're close to the bench. You can hear what the coach is saying. But meanwhile, it's very humanizing to Prohm as a coach, because across the aisle is his wife,
yeah,
and his young daughter, and his child is playing with a Spider-Man figurine on the floor,
yeah,
and eating gummy worms or
Cass
whatever he's eating.
Man.
And you're like, all right, it's just a family man.
He is a family man
out there coaching, you know, and like we tend to put our coaches up on these pedestals as deities, or oh, it's the coach, right? You get nervous talking to him or whatever, but it's like, he's just a dad.
Dude, Prohm is the most down to earth. I mean, I don't know every guy in college basketball, but like I challenge you to find a high major coach more like just normal guy down to earth than Prohm.
Yeah.
Like he is, it's unbelievable. It's unlike anything I've ever seen before.
I couldn't help but wonder if I had the same seats at an Iowa game and listened to McCaffrey, how much more disappointed I would be in that coach. Because I'm not saying Prohm never swears. I didn't hear him.
Done very often.
I didn't hear him in that game. And I guarantee you, McCaffrey wouldn't go a game without freaking out about something.
Steve will never, like, you'll never hear him swear in just like a general social setting.
Yeah.
You won't ever hear it. He does get fired up when he gets into that coach mode.
Yeah.
Though, which is, that's good. I mean, that's what he does. That's what he's passionate about. And he'll pop one every now and then, but it is not very often.
Yeah.
He doesn't drink. He is just who he is, man. And it is 100% real. That guy who you see, like, he is true blue.
Everybody drinks something. May not be alcohol, but he has a drink.
Yeah, I wonder what his drink
is. Like mine is milk. You know, it's,
yeah, you still doing the whole milk?
I am, unfortunately. I got to make a change, dude. I'm fat now. It's not helping. It's not helping at all.
Now, there's a lot of those studies, though, that say, like, all the diet stuff is actually worse for you. Because
yeah, but that's the problem with studies. It's like back a couple years ago when I went on a health kick, and I did give up pop for a whole year. And got pretty
literally
healthy.
Mark has a Mountain Dew and a Coca-Cola in front of his computer.
The
right
Coke
now.
Is from yesterday.
Okay.
The Mountain Dew is from today. So yeah, clearly I'm not still doing that, but there was a year where I gave a pop. And I tried so hard to eat well. And it was what I remember thinking was, this is too strict, because I would go to the grocery store and feel like everything was bad for me. Because you'd read an article that says, strawberries are bad for you.
Because there's too much sugar.
And milk's terrible for you. All that stuff is like, what the hell am I supposed to eat?
If you just would eat, if you would just eat fruits, vegetables, just meat, and drink milk, you'd be a very healthy person. I don't care what these people tell you.
Yeah. And water.
Well, here's what I don't understand. Like, I get it. Like, there's studies on the diet soda and all this stuff. You will be less fat if you drink diet pop compared to regular pop. Am I wrong? Like, it's all calories.
It's the sugar.
It's all right? In and out with calories, right?
I mean, the common denominator about health and food that I don't think anybody argues is sugar, right?
Yeah.
Excessive amounts of sugar is bad for you. Now, with that being said, you can eat a peach or strawberry or an apple, and there's sugar in it. So avoiding sugar just doesn't happen. People say, well, that's good sugar. That's natural sugar. It's okay. But there's sugar in stuff, naturally. So you can't completely avoid it. But I just remember feeling so frustrated, feeling like I'm trying to do it right, but everywhere I turn, it's not working. I was going to tell you, too, I don't know if you heard this story, but I heard this yesterday, the day before. We all need friends like George Clooney. Did you hear the George Clooney story?
I did see that.
For people that don't know, George Clooney, this was a year ago, 2 years ago, something like that. Before he got married to his wife. And he's known for being a nice guy. I think a lot of people mostly say good things about him in Hollywood. But George Clooney invites 14 friends over to his house for dinner. And these are people that apparently he goes way back with.
Yeah.
That knew him when he first was trying to make it in Hollywood. And
mm-hmm.
True friends, have been there a long time. He invites them over for dinner. And at their spot at the dinner table is basically a suitcase, a bag of some type. And they all open it up, and it's $1 million in cash in 20s for every single one of them. He gave away $14 million as a thank you to these friends. Now, to be fair to George Clooney, he just had a role in a tequila company that sold for like $1 billion, plus all the movies he does. So George ain't hurting for money. And some of these guys, like Randy Gerber's one of his friends who's married to, I don't know if he's married to Cindy Crawford, the model, but anyway, he's a super wealthy guy too. So he claims, and the story came from him. So this is a guy that was actually there that got the money. So for people saying that it isn't true, he said George had already paid the taxes on it, so it's tax-free. Here's your $1 million. And that guy gave it away to charity because he didn't need it. But he said there's other people there that absolutely needed it. It was like life-changing money because they hadn't made it. They weren't big stars. They were just friends of his. So That's a pretty cool story.
That is awesome. I liked Clooney before. I like him more now.
Yeah, yeah. What would you do like with $1 million?
What would I do with $1 million in cash? I would pay off my wife's student loans.
Yeah.
And I would pay off my mortgage.
Yeah.
I would just get debt-free. That's the absolute first thing I would
do. Which is
get debt
totally unsexy, but also smart.
I would get debt-free.
Yeah.
So I'd never have to worry about debt again the rest of my life.
Yep.
I would probably invest, just put like half of it, so just put it away.
Yeah.
And then I would take whatever the remainder is and
take a big vacation somewhere.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm sure I would do something like that, but I would probably want to purchase something that will make more money.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Sure, sure.
Because that's really how the rich people get richer.
You're not making it rain, dude. Like, I'd go to the club.
No, I don't. You know? I wouldn't do any of that. I would consider buying a new truck.
Okay.
I would consider that.
Okay.
And I would put, you know, clearly for my kid in college. And whatnot. But, man, you got to, like, that's how rich people get more rich.
Yeah.
Is because they have the money to front other things that will make more money.
Sure.
That's the key.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Speaking of the new truck,
what would you do with it?
You know, when you get the money has a lot to do with what you would do with the money. Because if you get it when you have no money, your answer is different than if you get it when you have some money, right?
Yeah.
As much as I just made fun of you, I'd probably do very similar things to you. Like I don't know that I wouldn't go crazy in any way. I would, get rid of some debt and I'd probably take a trip, take a nice cruise somewhere that I'd spend way more on it than I would have otherwise, you know, first class rooms,
I think that's fair.
That sort of thing. I want to see Europe really bad. I want to go there
that'd
and see
be great.
Europe.
I've always wanted to do that as well. Like a Mediterranean cruise. Is that what you would do?
You know, it depends on when it would happen.
Or would you go like backpacking?
Well, like right now, my stage of life, I'd probably pick like a Disney cruise somewhere if I was taking my kids because apparently those are awesome.
We put up a Minnie Mouse tree last night. Big deal.
Yeah, I can imagine so. Ugh. I was going to ask you too on your truck because you're a huge celebrity now.
Stop it.
Do you ever regret having personalized plates on that?
Yeah,
make you identifiable?
I don't like them. I didn't ever get them. They were a gift.
Okay.
They were a Christmas gift one year.
Yeah. But it removes, not that you need anonymity when you go to Walmart, but it removes it. People that know you are like, oh, Williams is here. Like,
no, in fact, if it were easier to get rid of them, I would.
Yeah.
But it's such a pain to like call up the courthouse. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They expire, though, at some point, right?
Yeah, but they automatically send those.
Okay.
You have to, like, request new ones.
So to do it over again, you wouldn't do it?
God, no.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Would you get state plates or just nothing? Just regular plates?
No, they'd just be regular plates.
Okay. Yours are – I won't give away your license plate on the air.
It's pretty obvious.
But, yeah, I always know when I see your truck somewhere.
No, I'd absolutely get rid of them, but whatever.
So the other thing, too, the reason I've never had – my car decorated with signage for what I do is because of how I drive. And I'm the first to admit that.
Oh, because you're a bad driver?
Well, I'm not a bad driver. I speed.
Oh. Yeah.
And I don't want people calling me or texting me saying, slow down, asshole. I mean, where do you think you're going? So I like having that anonymity as you drive around. You know, or you're
no,
like,
that makes sense.
It's the middle of the workday and you're at the mall. Like, someone drives by and sees, like, well, he's not working. He's at the mall.
Yeah. I occasionally get a guy like will tweet at me. I saw your car, saw your truck at Lowe's, or I get that quite a bit.
Stalker.
Yeah, it's whatever. It's my own fault because I have those things, but
not to be done again.
If you could buy any vehicle, you get $1 million. What would it be?
I will never ever be a Lamborghini Ferrari guy, especially living in Iowa. That's just ridiculously stupid.
You would look dumb driving around in Iowa in a Ferrari.
It's not even a dream car. That's not accurate. But there's probably two different things I'd want. One is like a Land Cruiser Discovery, like a big Jeep.
Oh yeah.
Like a big.
Oh yeah.
Not a Hummer, but a really cool Jeep.
Yeah.
And the other one would be, I'm a big fan of Maserati, and they make an affordable, air quotes.
What's an affordable Maserati cost?
Probably $80,000.
Oh, that's not bad.
Maserati Ghibli. So you get an Italian sports car that looks more sedan than sports car and actually has four doors. So it's still usable for your family, but it sounds super, super cool. It just has a cool sounding engine to it when you fire it up and stuff. So I'd get a Maserati.
I would do a tricked out, like balled out Jeep Wrangler. That's what I'd do.
Yep.
I've wanted the Wrangler my whole life. It's never been feasible.
There's something about driving around with the top off in the summer in Iowa.
Or
spring.
Hell yeah.
That's appealing to a lot of people. That's for sure. I was going to get a Jeep. I just didn't. The timing was off. I had a Jeep.
My truck's paid for. It's got like
140,000
miles on it or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll probably keep it forever. My next vehicle hopefully will be a Jeep.
I'm gonna share this. This is a funny story. I didn't even notice this last night, but we're driving around. I'll share this video to our Twitter page.
Okay.
I'm driving around. Let's see if I can pull it up too, so I'll show you. Driving around last night with the family looking at Christmas lights. And by the way, there's a lane, like a circle in Ankeny called Gingerbread Lane. I don't know if you've ever
Gingerbread.
Seen this. This season is called Gingerbread Lane. It's not the name of the road. It's less than a mile from our office.
I thought you said Gingerbread Lane.
Gingerbread Lane. And all the houses in this neighborhood, like by the covenants, have to decorate their house. So every house has a gingerbread man in the front yard.
It's kind of like that Christmas with the Cranks with the Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah. So that's cool. But we're driving around last night and we come across this really cool display, Iowa State display.
Okay.
So I'm gonna show it to you so you can see this, what I'm talking about here. Have a reference, and I'll tell you the funny joke to it. So it's basically one of those things where the lights move. It's got an Iowa State player doing an alley-oop.
Yeah.
And then it says ISU and lights. And
that's super awesome.
Yeah, and then it's got a guy kicking a field goal, and as it goes through the goalpost, Cy shows up in the goalpost.
That's awesome.
So we see this. It's close to our house. And
How do you even do that?
I don't know. My wife posted to Facebook last night and then makes fun of her that, of course, she posted it because Lane – is kicking the field goal. And if you notice, the number of the kicker in this is 82, which was Lane. Like, I don't know that there's ever been a kicker. So I don't know if this is a Lane Danielson fan, but the number on the guy in lights kicking the field goal is 82.
Man.
So of course we text Lane and his wife and say, you got to go take the kids over to see dad kicking field goals.
Oh yeah.
Over in the
show. So do they know him?
I don't know. Maybe they do. Or maybe it's just a total coincidence. But Lane lives close to this guy. So maybe they're friends. So I'll post it. It is a pretty cool light display for Iowa State fans.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely post that.
Gingerbread Lane. Maybe I'll have to take Cammy over there.
It was, it was okay. It was okay.
What did you think of the whole Jacob Park situation? You always have Iowa State opinions.
I was not surprised ever. I had heard anecdotally from some other people around the team that he had, and this isn't surprising, he had lost the trust of the team. Once I started hearing that, I'm like, he's not going to be back. That's just tough. And you know what? The reasons have now come out, right? He said it. Tommy, I don't know if he previously said it, but in Tommy Birch's article, he said the reasons. And those were some of the reasons that I had heard going back. And I never not that I should be as a fan, but I was never mad at him. I was never like, he let the team down. Once I started hearing the reasons, because I was in that boat myself, man. And I was not, when I had my first child, right after we brought Seton home, like I freaked out. Like
I hear you.
There was 2 days where I wouldn't touch him. I didn't want to look at him. I laid in bed like a big pussy And my wife did it all, and she's like, what the hell's wrong with you? And I'm like, the burden of this human life that was now dependent upon me hit me like a ton of bricks, right? And then one day, my wife said, I need to go somewhere. And she just brought Seton into me and just laid him with me in the bed and said, he's yours. And like within that hour of spending time with him, I got over it. And I'm like, I love this little dude. And I'm ready to be a man and be a father.
Yeah.
So I had that experience while not being the quarterback of a team, while not trying to go through school, while not struggling for money.
Yeah.
So I felt sympathetic for the guy. All right, you're in a situation where you do have to be a father now, and you probably weren't ready to be a father and all of this stuff. So once I was hearing, oh, it's because of these other things, I'm like, well, yeah, I'm there, man. I'm with you, and I hope the guy gets help.
Absolutely.
So, you know, my thought was, I hope that gets better for him. The fact that we've lost him as a quarterback, we did fine without the guy.
Yeah.
So as a team, we'll move forward. But no, I never wished him like ill will, or, you know, he made some mistakes with drugs, which wasn't helping.
No.
But that wasn't all of it either.
Yeah, and the drug thing's always, it's always interesting, you know. Are you on drugs and the drugs are creating your other problems, or are the other problems the reason you're on drugs? And
yeah,
I've never done drugs before, so I don't really know. Yeah. But I do know that there's oftentimes a correlation between the two. And I had similar issues when Cameron was, I just had a lot going on. Like I started the radio show a week before she was born.
Yeah.
And so I went from like just being a random dude with a job and a wife to being a guy with two jobs, a wife and a kid in the span of a week.
Yeah.
And it just was a lot. Like now there's major problems that people have. I'm not putting my, but like, it was just a lot for me to handle at that time, and I kind of lost my mind.
Yeah.
So I was like you, Mark, where I sympathized with him, and I was really hoping he would be at Iowa State next year, because I think that for him, like if he I think that would have been the best-case scenario for him, honestly. That's a good team coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You got great receivers.
Yep.
You have arguably maybe the best running back in college football returning next year. A line that'll be better, and you've got a good defense on the other side. If you want to get seen, Iowa State's a good spot to be next year. And so that sucks for him, because he's probably going to end up in some FCS program now.
So,
because I don't think a lot of other programs will touch
him. So I have a question. So I think he has one class left, and he's going to take that class and then graduate. And once you've graduated, you can go anywhere, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to sit out.
Correct.
So the real question is, if you look around the country, who is without a quarterback? There's going to be a lot of teams that don't have a quarterback for next year. Their guy just graduated. I wouldn't be surprised to see him playing somewhere. I mean, talent alone, you put up with the guy for a year.
Yeah.
He's gone.
He's just got such a bad track record now. I mean, this is how many schools and how many years? At some point, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say,
it's me.
It's like the guy who always gets cheated on.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been cheated on 6 times. Well, that sucks, and I feel sorry for you, but what are you doing to these women that's forcing them to cheat on you?
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't say that they're right in doing it,
mm-hmm.
but there's, like, at some point, you have to look yourself in the mirror, and perhaps I'm part of the problem here.
Or somebody that keeps getting divorced over and over again. It's always the person I choose. You might have something to do with it too.
Maybe you're a little bit of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But at some point you got to figure that out for yourself. Otherwise, you know, if Jacob keeps going around and blaming everybody else for all of his problems, he's not going to go very far in life.
Yeah. And I didn't like, from the Birch article to what he had said earlier, I don't like that he did the 180 where he was saying fans are super supportive, which he put that tweet out. And then the party.
Did you see all the responses to his tweet too? Everybody.
I think they were good, weren't they?
Everything was good.
Yeah, and then the parting shot is, man, the fans turned on me really quick. I mean, well, what happened? Nothing would have happened different in that span, because we hadn't even heard from the guy.
Correct.
So I never got the feeling immediately after he was out for the Texas game or stunk in the Texas game. Yeah, he took some crap, but he played terribly. That's what happens.
That's what happens when you're a quarterback at a Big 12 school. You know, like. In a perfect world, these student athletes would never get crap from fans, but like, it's kind of what you sign up for, unfortunately. I don't know. Now, I'll say this. it sounds more and more and more and more like Iowa State's going to be a player in the grad transfer quarterback market as well. So keep an eye on this. Is going to be a big story here over the next month.
Now, is that – I don't even think it's a knock, but Zeb Nolan played well.
No, it's not a knock on Zeb. It's the fact that if you look at the depth chart next year, it's sick. If you remove the quarterback position,
yeah,
this is as good of a depth chart as I've seen at Iowa State. I would perhaps argue 2005. That was a really nice depth chart, and they were a couple plays away from going 10-2.
Yep.
So they were really good. But other than that, like next year's depth chart's better than the Sage year, I think.
Yeah.
It's better than that Seneca team.
Yeah.
Like and it's sustainable. Like, you know, you have an elite running back, you've got a good line, you have receivers on, like, you know, it's an insane group of receivers. But this is a really attractive place for a grad transfer to come.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be exciting. They'll get a grad transfer.
So
or
do you know,
a JUCO, but I think it'll be a grad transfer.
Do you know, are they, even without saying who, are they targeting a few people at
this
point?
Yes, they are, and I don't know who they are. Two things real quick. It's not a take on Zeb Nolan. It's more of we don't have any depth.
Yeah.
I think Zeb's the starting quarterback in the spring right now.
Yeah.
There's nobody behind him other than a true freshman who's going to come in and a kid who's redshirting this year with a broken leg. So, or torn ACL or whatever. Two, I think my guess is, knowing how this all works, this is not something that they just decided in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
There's probably been feelers put out. They probably have a few guys who they really like, and they know that there's interest coming back. And a lot of this probably can't be talked about because of bowl games and stuff like that.
Yeah. I always wonder what that sales pitch looks like, though, especially in a grad transfer. You have one season left, right? This is it. And you're going to say, come to Iowa State University. All right, here's what we did last year. Who's coming back? It looks good. The fans show up. It's a great atmosphere. It's the Big 12, all of that stuff. How do you do it without telling the guy you're the guy?
Yeah.
You know, why go waste that last year sitting on the bench? You almost have to promise him. And it would depend on who that guy is, obviously.
Do you think that the clones can win with Zeb next year?
I think they can have a similar year to what they had now.
I'm with you. I think that's a good answer. Because I think if Park is like maxed out this year mentally and physically, clones could be 9-3.
Yeah.
Like, the ceiling's higher when you had that quarterback.
Yeah.
And Kempt is fine. And I don't even – and this sounds insane. I'm totally backtracking what I just said. I don't know if they would have beaten Oklahoma with Park.
Yeah.
Because I think they would have played the game differently, and you would have played more into Oklahoma's hands. So perhaps that's what they need, is more of the game manager type, because it ties them to David Montgomery, et cetera. But I think that down that stretch, specifically like the West Virginia game, clones got beat because they didn't have a Kempt was okay. They didn't have a good quarterback that game. Yeah. I don't know.
You know who I wish we could get? And the years don't line up right. I don't know the year specifically. I think we're a year away from this happening. But I wish we could get Joe Burrow out of Ohio State, which is – so he's Mr. Ohio quarterback in that state, 6'4", NFL prospect, as far as size goes, strengths, all that stuff. I think he will make a team once that comes. Goes to Ohio State, sits behind JT. JT comes back when it probably would have been Joe's turn. Then Ohio State is always recruiting other quarterbacks. Now they got other guys, right? So Joe's never really hit the field. But Joe would be a great quarterback, I think. Like, he's got that pedigree. And why the Ames connection? His brother's Jamie Burrow, who went to Ames High. His dad coached at Ames High. They lived in Ames. Jamie grew up in Ames. Obviously ended up playing at Nebraska. But something like that, where you've got a great quarterback, at least potentially, that's just sitting behind somebody, just wants to play.
Yeah.
Get out and play. That type of situation would be awesome. In this case, I don't think he's graduated yet, so I don't think that's a possibility. But those guys, those diamonds in the rough that are good quarterbacks that just haven't gotten a chance.
Kyle Kempt.
You know, it's you know, who knows who that's going to be if they're targeting guys. Maybe it's Bama's quarterback that never played, their backup.
Well,
you know, that sort of thing.
So the one guy that floated around, and I don't – from the small amount of digging I've done on this, I don't think it's a possibility, is Spate from Michigan.
Okay.
But
is he even good?
I don't know, but I've asked a couple of questions, and it doesn't sound like that's going to be a deal. So, but who knows? It's still insanely
early. I don't even know that I'd be excited about that name, honestly. If
I mean, he could – couldn't he – I don't know. I haven't watched him enough.
It's are you looking for a really good game manager next
year? You need
year?
Kyle Kemp. You need a better version of Kyle Kemp if you want to max out. I don't think you need a guy who's going to go around and chuck it like Park did. I mean, it'd be nice, but that's what worries me about Zeb is this offense, the way it's set up, you don't need Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Like you need, give me a cliche game manager. Need Brad Johnson or Trent Dilfer. You don't have to be that good of a quarterback to put up good numbers.
Yeah.
In this offense.
Horny Brook comes to mind, you know, a crap quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have, don't get me wrong, you've got to be able to stretch the field, especially when you have the wide receivers that Iowa State's going to have. But you don't need a guy out there who's rolling dice.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen of Zeb, and I think Zeb's going to be really, I really like him, by the way. And I'm excited about his future.
The good news about him is if he is the number one, then he proceeds from here as the number one, which gets him a lot more reps, so he's going to be a lot better next year, even if he is the guy. So, yeah, people shouldn't think – I don't think either one of us are saying, like, he can't do it shouldn't do it.
This is the way I look at it. Like, there's a lot of optimism about the future. Just got Campbell for 6 years, all that stuff. I don't care. Like, I'm looking at next year.
Yeah.
Next year's roster is built to win. The Big 12's losing all sorts of talent at quarterback.
Yep.
Iowa State can be a top three team in the Big 12 next year. They got to get the quarterback figured out. But, like, so, like, I'm with you. Like, I think Zeb's going to be a good quarterback of the future. I don't really give a crap right now.
Yeah.
Like, get the best guy in for next year because you don't want to waste it.
No, I agree. I mean, Mason Rudolph would be gone, and
Baker's
Baker Mayfield
gone.
Is
Kenny
gone.
Hill's gone.
Kenny Hill's gone. Hell, Snyder might be gone at K-State, so who knows if
he's coming back.
Oh, is that announced?
He's coming back.
That vampire.
He's coming back.
What the? Go away, dude. Well,
we talked about this for like an hour yesterday on the show.
We need to beat those guys next year.
I'm so sick and tired of Kansas
Just
State.
Just pound them.
So, since Snyder's coming back, does that mean that the Big 12 will just give us that win? Because we're
owed one, man.
Jeez.
We are owed one. Have you seen a pass interference penalty flag picked up?
I don't think I've seen one flag picked up.
Yeah, that makes me mad.
Unbelievable.
That makes me mad.
It makes me more mad the longer, farther away we get from it.
Wouldn't you love to know what that conversation was between the two guys?
Yeah. Yeah, I really would.
Well, I got pass interference on this thing. Well, I sure don't.
Well, from people.
Well, okay. Yeah, you're probably right.
Like, Bloom's Mr. Ref, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's not that guy's role to pick up that flag. Like, Bloom knows, like, whose position is what and what it means and all that crap. Ah, geez.
Convincing someone they didn't see what they just saw.
Yeah.
And what was more frustrating is he did see it.
Yeah.
The video
he
showed it.
The
photo saw it. You know, he saw pass interference because there was pass interference.
So, yeah, the vampire's back.
That's annoying.
Vampire's back.
Well, fine.
So
let's
you
send
see my point, though?
Loss.
Like, if Zeb's the guy, great, but I want some insurance.
Yeah.
We haven't seen enough of him. And perhaps with 6 months of molding his mind, you can get a little bit of that gunslinger out of him.
So right now we have no backup? None?
Well, so you've got this Real Mitchell who's going to sign, and he's really good. But he's a true freshman. So it's like, do you really want to give the keys to a Corvette to a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you've got this kid who, Devin Moore, who redshirted this year, who they really liked, but he's coming off of a broken leg and a torn ACL. So, again, it's like, well, there's some questions if he's even going to be himself.
Yeah.
So you need some insurance.
Yeah.
That's my only point. It's not a commentary on any of the kids who are in there now.
Yeah.
It is.
Was he the – are you talking about the Council Bluffs kid?
No. No, he's a 2019 kid.
Okay, I thought you were talking – because he had broken his leg.
He broke
a bunch
his
of stuff
leg,
too.
Dude.
I'm like, I didn't think he'd even committed to Iowa State.
I was talking to somebody before I came in here, actually, because we were having a similar conversation. I was like, they need to put that Mitchell kid in bubble wrap.
Yeah.
Because if you're a freshman on Iowa State's campus and you play quarterback, you're going down. Like, right now, it's just – it's terrible luck.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm so excited for next year. And I don't even want to think down the road. Like, everything is on the table for Iowa State next year. They just got to figure that spot out.
And it's a big spot.
Yeah. Well, it's the spot.
It's a big spot to figure out. Switching gears real quick, what's your latest take on Iowa State basketball team? Let me ask it this way. Okay. Simple question.
All right.
Will this team, I want a direct answer, will this team find a way to make the tournament? Prom doesn't listen, so you're okay here.
No.
Okay.
Close? Yeah, I think they're really close. I think that we're heading to Kansas City with, like, man, we make a run here. I think they're on the wrong side of the bubble would be my guess. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong. These guys have proved me wrong a lot in the last couple weeks.
Where do they max out win-wise? 16, 17?
They're at, what, 8 right now? They're 8-2?
Yeah, I think so.
Hold on, I got it up.
I think that's right. Either that or 7-2.
They're 7-2 right now. They're going to – I've got them losing to you and I.
So why is that, by the way? I've seen that a lot. You and I – correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they stink last year?
Yeah, they're better this year.
I know, but they stunk last year, yeah. Right? They got better that quick?
Here's why. This is why I think this. Iowa State is a much better team when pushing the basketball. In transition, they want to play at a high tempo. I'm worried that Jacobson's going to do the whole wait until 3 seconds left on the shot clock, slow the game, and I'm worried it's going to drive these kids mad.
Yeah.
That they're not going to have the wherewithal to, you know, because they, let's face it, Iowa State sucks in the half court. They're just not any good in the half court.
They haven't figured it out yet.
This team, yeah, they're not any good in the half court. And their best offense is running.
Yeah.
And you're in a neutral court. You and I has more experience. Jacobson knows how to screw with teams. I don't know. Like, I feel like now there's another side to this. Let's see what you think about this. Don't you think that this team, though, like the way it's built, is better off against like a U and I than like Matt Thomas, Naz Long, and George Niang, in the sense that they just – those guys would get really frustrated if threes weren't falling and if they couldn't do their thing because they didn't play a lot of defense?
I agree, but this team's got more size.
This team's a little grittier. Like, they care about defense a little bit more.
Cameron Lard is a beast. I liked watching him up close.
Him and Hans. Solomon are going to get into foul trouble on Saturday. So
you think?
I got to –
What do you think of Hans? You a fan?
I like Hans. I think they should be starting Hans over Beverly.
Player.
I think it makes more sense to start
from
him.
Germany? Where'd he come from?
Hans?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from Germany.
Germany.
I don't know. There's clearly, though, like, I've got this Iowa State, UNI thing going on in my head. I never think we're going to beat those guys.
I know it's early. But comparing to the guys that just left, Monte's a point guard. That's a tough comparison in a way. But we had crowd favorites, right? We had Naz, and we had Thomas, and we had Niang, and these guys that were great. Is Wigginton better than those guys?
I think he's better as a freshman than all those guys were.
I mean, he's absolutely a really good player.
Yeah,
he could be a total stud, frankly.
I think he's the best player on the team.
Is he two and done? I'm not going to say one.
Maybe.
And two and done?
I mean, I think Nick Weiler-Babb is perhaps the most valuable player on the team. I think Wigginton's the best player on the team already.
He's exciting to watch. He's a fun player to watch play. But, yeah, he's good.
I mean, just compare him to, like, Monte's in the NBA now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Monte, it took him half a year to really even see playing time. And then he was just kind of a role guy. Now, different team he's on. He's playing with George Niang and Melvin Edgem. You know, like, it's a
– yeah.
Wigginton's the man on this team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's 9 games into his career. So listen, Mark, I think that they're going to be really fun to watch. I think they're going to be super competitive. But the Big 12 is insane this year. And I think that they're 8-10 in conference.
I'm not going to say the Big 12 isn't, but we've seen Kansas struggle some.
Yeah.
That's been an interesting thing to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I do know, though, like, the good thing, and that's what you want, like, the fans are – you want fans to talk about the tournament.
Yeah.
That's good for a program, you know? And I guarantee to you that that's what their mind's on.
Well, and people change their minds quickly, too. We went from watching the first two games to now. I mean, that's a 180 from where people were after
Hell
the
yeah,
first couple of games. So I don't think this is not a terrible team. This is not, name some of the bad teams that have been at Iowa State. It's not that.
No.
There's talent out there.
Oh, that's never been a question.
But you got to, as cliche as it sounds, you got to learn to play as a team. And I think they are. They'll get better at that.
They've gotten a lot better.
So I think there's an outside shot at the tournament.
Yeah.
And I hope they go.
I would say, let's put it on percentages.
I would say 45% chance they would go.
Okay. I was going to put it at like 40, 60 or 35, right, 65. So we're right in the ballpark.
Well, let's hope for good things. Next week, we got time. Next week, maybe even the week after that. Timing probably not. Bowl preview.
Yeah.
Next week, is that what we're going to do?
We can do that. Let's see what's next week. I got to pull my calendar up.
Did you have any Fodcast 5 or anything today?
I got a few things.
All that time yet.
Did you want to talk about your business deal?
It's going well. It's going well. So I did talk about it last week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did talk about it. I can give an update, though.
Yeah, let's hear an update on this. I read the release.
I got to give a shout-out to Gavin. Gavin's a listener. He reached out. He needs help buying a home.
Oh, so, Gavin, all right.
The podcast continues to work. So
awesome.
We appreciate the support there. So we're really kind of in the first week of this merger, this new thing, and we're in the process of listing 6 or 7 new homes, which this time of year is crazy. Keep them busy and things are good. I think I would have done it if it would not have been really, really good. And I put out a video on Facebook. I don't know if you saw this.
I did. That's why I texted you.
It was interesting because when you make changes like this, there are rumors.
People talk.
About why. And I put out this 4-minute video on Facebook that obviously most people listening wouldn't have seen. Just addressing some of these because Katie here at the office had gotten a text from someone in the business that said, I heard Mark lost his broker's license. Is that true? No, not true. Not true at all. You guys must have been struggling, but not making sales. No, we're approaching $20 million in sales for 2017. This was done for strategic reasons based on where the industry is going, based on what I want my life to look like, how much time I want to be at work versus at home, how much money I want to spend on ads versus not. I mean, those were the reasons that this was done. So this is me setting the record straight. The license wasn't in jeopardy. The business wasn't about to close. There was none of that. This was just a change of direction. And this is what I think real estate should be and what it will be in the future. And I'd rather be out in front of it. So
smart.
So far, the reaction has been good. And I think we'll get a lot of business off of this model because, frankly, we're doing, on the selling side, a lot of the same stuff that we were doing at the old model. We're just charging you less to do it. So if you're a seller and you want to save some money,
so you're wanting to increase volume and you make less on each sale.
Yeah. So you increase volume and I was told
You have the resources to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I was told this from the first day that I started this business. If you want to be successful in this business, you need to get signs in yards, right? Because that allows neighbors to see you. That gets buyers to call.
Yeah.
It's kind of the lifeblood of this business. So the more people that we meet, that's more relationships. That's more connections to their friends. It's more, PR on social media. So yes, it does lead to more opportunities. People can say, well, you're working more for less money. You could look at it that way, but another way to look at it is, one, if you look at a per hour, how many hours do we spend on each deal, we still make a good amount of money. There's no question about it. And that's just having done this for 12 years, I know what we spend on each deal. So we're spending, we're still making very good money there. But the other part is, would we have ever met these people if we did not offer what we offer?
Mm-hmm.
And having met them, maybe now, okay, yeah, we made less when we listed their house, but now they also want to go buy a house. And the commission that we generate on that sale is more. So are there some trade-offs? Yes, but the pros far outweigh the cons, and that's why we did it. So hopefully people that know of me or know me a little bit, hopefully those people are giving me somewhat of the benefit of the doubt that I did it for the right reasons versus having to do it, which is not the case. I guess if they feel that way at the end of the day, I'm not going to change their minds.
You know, the older I get, the more I learn. You can only worry about gossipers and crap like that a certain amount too.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's,
and I guess in a weird way, it's a positive. If people are talking about you, it means you're relevant.
Yeah.
Versus, okay, Mark made a change and nobody gives a crap.
Yeah.
That would probably be a bad sign as well. So
absolutely.
So yeah, we're excited about it. We're not, I mean, Williams can end the podcast whenever he wants to, I guess, but I'm not planning to on my end of things. So people ask, is the podcast going to go away? If I have anything to do with it, no.
I'm good.
So it's up to Chris. Let's put it that way.
I enjoy it. So I enjoy coming in here every week.
It's a bit of a change in your week versus what you're used to. But yeah, so things are good and will continue to be good. And KK has kept her job as she walks past. She was worried there for a second, but I assured her that, yes, she gets to keep her job. So
we got to keep KK around.
I'm confused,
queen
by the
of
way.
The Knoxville Raceway.
What is that note she just said? Chick-fil-A, it looks like, is what it said, but maybe that's not what it said. Is that what it says?
She's going to get you Chick-fil-A.
Well, no. She showed me a note like that I assumed meant, do you want Chick-fil-A? And I nodded yes, and then she immediately starts going to microwave food for herself. Oh, okay.
Oh, your wife's
my
bringing,
wife's bringing
you
Chick-fil-A. Me Chick-fil-A. I'm like, well she, no, she's man, cooking food now. What?
That made daddy hungry.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A. Yeah, that works. All right. Thanks for the clarification.
So we need to do the bowl preview next week.
We can do that.
We need to because, you know, I look ahead. Next week is the 21st on Thursday.
Then it's Christmas.
And I'm leaving on the 26th for Memphis.
Yep. Are you we can talk about it next week, but you excited for it? It's a sold-out bowl game, which is cool.
Yeah, I am. I'm excited for it. Because I really love this team, and I enjoyed Memphis last time.
Yeah.
I thought it was a blast.
Let me ask you this one.
My wife doesn't want to go.
Let me ask you this one take, because I think there's scenarios where teams are, I just want the season to end, and I'm over it.
No, this team is not
like. Do you think this team wants to go get that eighth win?
This team wants to win this game.
Yeah.
And Campbell is very outspoken about, like, how he approaches bowl games. And he's like, I want the damn trophy.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you build a program. You got to win things.
Yeah.
And, like, they are very – you can kind of look at bowl season as two ways. Obviously, there's going to be developmental stuff going on, and that's really the biggest benefit from it. But, like, this team is not just happy to be there. This team is – the chemistry on this team is, I think, what made it a special year, frankly, because they kind of stuck together and all that through thick and thin.
And Montgomery's healthy. Should be good to go. Yeah. So we have a full squad there.
Maybe get Jay on next week. Try and get Jay on. Maybe
we could. He gives an epic breakdown.
Oh. Well, he's working on them right now. So we got previews. Jay Jordan going to do a preview of Memphis's offense, Memphis's defense, and then a complete breakdown of the game.
Yeah,
so it's all coming.
Yeah,
out.
I've talked to Jay before about coming on. He's happy to do it. So we could definitely get that on.
I got a guy next week who does talk radio in Cedar Rapids, and his brother is on the Memphis team.
Oh, really? Did he play?
Yes.
Okay. Do you feel like Iowa State got hosed a little bit? They have to go play a road game at a true home stadium?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I think it just...
I mean, it helped sell out the game.
Yeah, I just think that it was a bad draw. I don't think that they got hosed.
Okay.
That could have happened to anybody.
The Big 12 had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Conspiracy there.
All right. Well, yeah, next week, let's do the preview.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for listening, everybody. Later.